These are the Kashi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kashi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hello, everybody. I'm John Hewlett, along with the mighty Favaz, and it's time for another edition of the Kashi Tapes. And Kashi Tapes this week is brought to you by, a sponsor. We got a sponsor.
Yay!
It's Black Raven, blackravendigital.com.
You know, websites are not like the movie Field of Dreams, John. It's not like if you build it, they will come. You gotta have your business website to get found online. And to do that, it takes strategy, making sure people find you first when they search. Black Raven can help you with that. Start implementing a better SEO plan today with a St. Louis-based team who focuses on connecting you with your users online. Let Black Raven AFC help you today. Just go to blackravendigital.com and reach up today.
All right.
And today we feature Kirk Hammett, the guitar player from Metallica.
This is show 56. They just keep adding up. Now, this is the second time we've featured Kirk Hammett, both interviews done by you.
Yes, but I don't think we featured Kirk before on the Kashi Tapes. We did James Hetfield from Metallica, the singer.
He's the only one?
He's the only one.
I'll be darned. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I think I've got a couple Kirks, but this one was done in 2003 at the Edward Jones Dome. I think this was the night that Limp Bizkit played. It was. I say the name of the tour here, but I just remember being really impressed by Limp Bizkit because it was a huge crowd at the Dome, and they came out before Metallica. There were a few bands on the bill, and I just remember them being real good. But I just also remember, you know, talking to Kirk Hammett. He's kind of a strange dude.
Yeah.
You know, and he was even stranger just a couple of years ago when I interviewed him at Busch Stadium before Metallica played at Busch Stadium a couple of years ago, which was a great show out in the rain. And
Is he kind of a quiet guy? Is he kind of a reserved person?
Yes, kind of.
Yeah, but because Lars, he'll just get right in your face. He's very outgoing and talkative. As is James Hetfield for the most part.
But Lars is the only guy I've never interviewed. I've never even met him.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've met the others.
Mm. He seems like a very serious guy.
Yeah.
He's serious about everything. And nothing wrong with that. That's the way he is.
Yeah.
And he takes his profession very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going back to 2003 on this interview. The Mighty Favaz and Kirk Hammett of Metallica.
Hey, everybody. It's Favaz, and we are in the guts of the Edward Jones Dome, literally, with one of the best guitar players around, Kirk Hammett of Metallica. Kirk, how you doing, man?
Pretty goddamn good.
Well, good. I'm goddamn good, too. So you're rolling into St. Louis finally for the Summer Sanitarium
Tour. Yes, we cursed, John.
You guys use the Lord's name in vain?
He did it first.
Yeah, he started it. So if one person does it, you got to reciprocate.
Yes.
I think it's a religious rule.
Got to show you're cool.
It's in the Bible. No, kidding.
Let me ask the stupid obligatory question. How has it been so far?
So far, it's been all about a couple interviews, a couple interview requests, about 15 minutes.
In other words, I had to take time out to talk to you.
I'm getting to that.
to warm up on my guitar so far. I needed about another couple hours. I don't know where that's going to come from. But overall, you know, it's been good.
So you hate doing this right now?
No, I don't hate doing it. It's just that... It's time intensive. You know, interviews take up time, and there's only so many hours before the show, and you know, there's any set amount of things that you have to do before the show just to make sure that the show goes well, and it's just all about, you know, just finding the time to do what you have to do.
So you're on a very regimented schedule, I would think. It's got to be boom, boom, boom all day long.
I basically can't leave the perimeters of where, you know, our tour manager is, or you know, our publicity guys are, because you know there's interviews to do, there's questions to be asked, there's future interviews to be scheduled, there's meetings about more publicity and interviews, and you know, Lars and I were joking the other day, this is like the interview tour with the occasional gig.
You can't blame us, though. I mean, you guys are out finally again, and you are... I mean, I've heard enough people say it, that you're the Led Zeppelin of the next generation. What do you think of that term?
That kind of freaks me out, because I know what Led Zeppelin mean to me in my head. I mean, they were one of the biggest inspirations in my life, and to hear that I have that sort of impact on other people, and our band has that sort of impact on other people, is a little bit mind-blowing. And, you know, I'm not in the mood to have my mind blown right now. So I'd rather, like, you know, spend time thinking about, you know, where my next interview is going to be coming from.
I think that's an accurate description.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're talking to Kirk Hammett of Metallica. Saint Anger has reached, I believe, the double platinum status, which is 2 million sold. And I heard a soundbite from you saying it's not radio friendly. It's not. Why isn't it?
There's no ballads. There's no songs that are short enough to go on the radio without us editing them. There's no girly chick tunes. I'm just kidding about that part.
No, but, he's not.
You know this?
No.
No, I don't think he's kidding about that.
No, I don't think so either. You got to wonder, you know, in that band when they have those type of discussions, what kind of songs they're going to put on their album. Those can get heated, I'll bet, because there's got to be the temptation, because the record company's got to be pressuring them to do something like those things that he just talked about.
Right. You know, that band's famous for fighting. You know, Lars and James, those are two strong-willed people that, you know, I mean, that one video that they put out, Some Kind of Monster, where they showed the recording of whatever record, they were all in therapy at the time, trying to deal with each other's shit.
Right. You know? And so, Dave Mustaine, on top of that, he was a violent son.
That was old. That was back in the day.
That was older, yeah. But, you know, just in things I've seen, when Lars is talking, like I mentioned earlier, how intense he seems.
Mm-hmm.
That a guy like that, you're probably going to be fighting with from time to time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And James Hetfield, he's pretty headstrong as well.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Album is pretty much the most uncompromising thing we've put out yet. I mean, you know.
I wonder how Kirk fits into that mentally, dynamic.
Whatever the last record was, he had ideas and they just pushed him aside.
So he's really not that powerful.
So he's
inside.
Kind of weak. Yeah, I don't want to say weak. He's meek.
Yes.
You know, and he just, whatever ideas he has, they may go, oh, that's cool. Now let's do what we want to do.
And he's the lead guitarist, too. I mean, there's power that comes with that position, but he doesn't exert it, I guess.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100%.
Yeah, the drummer exerts it.
Right.
That's weird.
Yeah. But it's him and James run that show.
Yeah.
You know?
Us just raging away at what we do best, you know, which is playing, playing our music. And we didn't really write anything that even remotely resembled a single this time around. And we're absolutely fine with that, you know? There's been times in the past when nothing showed up on the radar that was, radio friendly at all, and then all of a sudden something showed up and it looked like it could have been a radio song, you know, and we kind of like steered in that direction. But I mean, this time around there hasn't been anything like that, and we haven't really steered anything into that sort of direction, and so, you know, having said that, I think this album is completely for the art of it.
And you can, after all these years, you've earned that right. Sonically, though, it's really different, too. The way it was recorded, the sound of Lars's drums, I guess that was a conscious effort also?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, all our albums had a certain kind of drum sound, you know, unique to that album sometimes not. We wanted to go somewhere completely different, and we decided that, you know, we're going to just walk away from everything we've done in the past. And we did that on a bunch of different levels. And one of the levels that we did that with was the drum sound. I mean, I like the way Lars's drums sound, because it's so unique. And I think it actually serves the song somewhat.
And if I say something bad about Lars, I'll get my ass kicked.
Well, do you remember the shit that they got for this record, the Saint Anger record? I mean, it was just, because it's not radio friendly.
Yes.
You know, people heard it, and, you know, the Metallica fan that jumped on board, you know, in the 90s maybe, they absolutely hated it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
Nothing really did come off the album,
not
right?
Really. I mean, Saint Anger, I'd have to pull up the discography and see the track listing, but I remember Saint Anger as the lead track.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I don't think that to fixate on something like a drum sound for the overall experience is really helping yourself when you're listening to it. I mean, this album is. Hey, wait 1 second. Hey, shut up! Shut up! That means you guys go somewhere else. God damn it! I'm trying to do a goddamn radio interview.
Lars just walked in the room. Lars.
What is so important? What do you have to actually say to anybody?
Oh, we're just talking about the drum sound. Nothing really that's important.
That's original.
Do you remember this? Do you remember this happening?
I don't remember that happening.
You're kidding
so
me.
So Lars just stepped in and said, that's original or whatever. Yeah. No, I don't.
Wow.
I don't.
That's the look on Favaz's face right now, folks. Is he's just stunned that just happened.
Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
That was great.
Sorry, everyone.
That's good. We'll trade off. All right. Hey, I had some listeners call in and give me some questions for you. Cause...
Wait. I haven't even finished.
Oh, yes. We weren't finished. See, we were distracted. All right.
Yeah. You know, this album is supposed to be like, you know, an experience song by song. There's a lot of different elements to this album. But to fixate on one element like the drum sound, and using that element as a reason not to listen to the album as a whole, I believe is cheating yourself. You know, it's a classic case of not seeing the forest because of the trees. And, you know, I know a lot of people are challenged by the drum sound, but it's not all about the drum sound. It's all about the songs and you know, the creative input.
It's all about the music, man. All right, so anyway, I had some listeners call in and give me some questions for you. One listener wanted to know, what song do you consider to be your anthem?
Our anthem?
Yeah, your anthem.
Wow, that's a hard one, you know, because I know I'll throw some song out there and then someone will instantly jump up and say, well, what about this song?
Well, of course.
You know, I would have to say, you know,
let me say, I'll say one.
Okay. One? Yeah. You know, that's a great, great answer.
I still feel that way.
At first, I think he was thinking you were going to just say, oh, I got one. No, the actual song.
You know, someone might say Seek and Destroy. Someone might say Enter Sandman. You know, someone might say Fuel.
Well, what does Kirk Hammett say?
You know, that's a hard one. Yeah. I don't know.
That's what I was getting to.
Give it's like,
come
to
on,
us.
Just answer the goddamn question.
Yeah, I wonder why he'd be so sensitive about
that. I don't
know.
Hmm.
That's
a
really, really difficult question.
That's a good one. See, and I didn't even come up with it. So.
You know, damn. I don't know, man. You know, I mean, at this point of time, you know, I really think that Saint Anger could be called our anthem because it encapsulates.
Oh, no.
No, Saint Anger is not your anthem. I guarantee you it's not your anthem, Kirk.
That was the PR answer right there. All right, what are we pushing right now? Let's say Saint Anger.
And I looked on the record. I just looked on the discography. There was nothing. Nothing else on there.
Nothing came off that album. No. Well, I shouldn't say. I mean, there's plenty of music on it.
Right,
but nothing,
yeah.
Nothing memorable.
Saint Anger was it.
Yeah.
I just remember being angry when
actually,
I heard it.
So much of what we went through in the past couple years, you know. It's really fitting in that it encapsulates all the feelings and all the anger and all the frustration that we went through in the last couple of years. And you know, to me, Saint Anger is the anthem that best fits, you know, our triumph over adversity.
The Napster stuff, do you think that has hurt you at all?
Oh, yes. Explain to the Napster stuff so people who might not.
So they hated the music being shared. You know, Napster, you know, was a leader pretty much, and you could get free music.
Yeah, free music. You could get these artists' music without paying for them.
Right. And they wanted to be paid.
And I don't blame them for that.
Yeah.
Did you?
No. I at the time, I don't remember. I don't know.
Well, you know, the internet was kind of new, and getting music on the internet was a new thing, and people were excited about it, and, oh, all this music sharing, and they were forgetting, hey, wait a minute, the artist needs to get paid for this, but people didn't care.
Right.
Because the internet was so liberating.
But I think also they looked at bands like Metallica. You don't need the money. But the typical band that's out there, they need the money.
Absolutely.
That's how they make their, you know, that's how they pay their bills.
That's right. Well, not only that, but I mean, they came up with this art, and they deserve to be paid on it, no matter when it's purchased, no matter who purchases it, for the rest of their lives and on to infinity. That's the way we do that, and we work things out here in this country. Or else we're going to like be like China. We're like China, where intellectual property means nothing.
Right.
Is that what you want?
Right.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Getting on my soapbox here.
Step down.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of the internet, hey, do you know our sponsor is Black Raven? And Black Raven is on the internet. You know, every business needs a good website, not just to make them look good, but because, well, your clients, your customers, and your potential hires, they're all online, so you got to look good in front of them, right? Well, they need to find you, and more than that, they need to see your brand shine and make a real connection with you through their through your website. And you can do that with the help of Black Raven. If you aren't making a difference to the people that you're trying to reach, or worse, your site is too slow, doesn't connect properly, or is hard to use by your team. So let Black Raven get this all working for you and for your company so you can make more money. Go to blackravendigital.com and reach up today. That's blackravendigital.com. Back to the interview with Favaz and Kirk Hammett. Kirk?
I don't think so. You know, I think the Napster thing, in the long run, hasn't hurt us. Maybe in the short run it did hurt us, but in the long run, I don't think it has. I honestly think that the issue itself, online piracy, still... it needs to be resolved, though.
True. All right. Well, that's about it, I think. Kirk, thanks for joining us, man. And have a great show tonight. And it's always good to see Metallica back in St. Louis.
Cheers. Thank you.
All right. Kirk Hammett right there. 2003 with Favaz. Yeah. I don't know. I find myself thinking back on the catalog of Metallica's music. Much of it I like. Again, that album just doesn't stand out to me. Nothing comes off that album that really... gets my attention. So,
and I was just telling you that I saw Metallica with my who is now 15-year-old son, but I guess he was 13, because every kid needs to see Metallica. That's why I took him. Saw him at Busch Stadium just a couple of years ago, right. And they were outstanding.
Yeah,
just
was
a huge production. You were there. It rained, which kind of sucked, but it was sold out. There was 50,000 people there, and it was a tremendous show. Yeah,
it had a delayed start, as I remember.
Yeah,
remember
because they were building the canopy over Lars so they could play in the rain.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what took so long.
And I also remember that show being too loud for me. It was brutally loud.
Where did
loud.
You watch the show from?
I was, initially I was in my PA announcing booth. You know, had some glass, had a little glass buffer.
Right.
But then when I went downstairs and I was right behind home plate area, I couldn't believe how loud it was. I mean, I really had to take precautions. I had to put stuff in my ears, man. You didn't think so?
No, I kind of remember it being loud, but I've never thought that show that I had to wear protection, so to speak.
Didn't he almost get killed in that bus crash, too?
Kirk?
Yeah. I think he was like where Burton ended
Cliff
up
Burton.
Being.
Clinton, I'm not sure.
I thought I remember hearing something about that. So, yeah, I think he's lucky to be alive after that whole situation. But, hey, he's been in the band, 30-something years now, right?
Some odd years, man. I mean, he's been there for a long time.
Yeah, and, so he's getting along with them. And
I just think he's one of those dudes. He seems like he's led the life, and it's kind of affected him in a way, the way that he speaks. Because, I interviewed him just a couple of years ago at Busch Stadium, and he seemed more out of it than he did there.
Really?
You know, like if you listen to it there, you would think a couple times he just sounds kind of like spacey, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that this interview that I did just a couple of years ago was even more so.
Really?
I did.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, we'd like to hear that eventually on KC Tapes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's Favaz. Thank you, Favaz. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan, and on Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
And I'm Favaz, and we'll see you on the radio if I don't see you on the podcast.
The KC Tapes brought to you by Black Raven. Thanks for listening. Adios, my friend.
AMF, Johnny.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.